Recently I was asked an interesting question. Why do we call this day good? Where does it get this name of Good Friday? This week we call Holy Week. Yesterday we call it Holy Thursday. Tomorrow is Holy Saturday, not Easter Saturday, that's the 26th. Why not just Holy Friday? Why do we say this day is good, when at the heart of this day, there is something that seems so unspeakably evil? I mean, I guess the first thing that we might notice as Christians is that we're meant to be bearers and proclaimers of news that is meant to be good. Our central message is, of course, caught up in the very events of the life, the ministry, the teachings of Jesus. And that is why we're able to call somehow the events of that first Friday as good. But what about it could be indeed called good? We've just read the account of the Passion, the magnificent account that we have in the Gospel of John. And wonderful though it is, with a very regal Christ who's always in command of what is unfolding. And in one sense, he almost reigns from that cross. He has complete authority over everything that happens. But none of that can take away the sheer brutality of a death on a cross. The bloody torture, the heartbreaking pain that Jesus experienced in his death. That's what we confront on this day that we call good. We've journeyed with Jesus this week. Last Sunday, on Palm Sunday, we had the triumphant entry of Jesus and his disciples into the city of Jerusalem, then to his betrayal. And last night we remembered the Last Supper, when he gave his body and blood in the upper room, followed then by the anguish and the arrest of Jesus in the garden, and the slow desertion of each of the disciples. Today we continue to walk with Jesus along the stations of the journey of his cross, the trial, the judgment, the scourging, the passion, and finally, now the death of Jesus, stripped and naked, raised up upon the cross. The culmination of our journey today is indeed to behold him. We gaze upon the face of Jesus, the body of Jesus stripped for our view. At the turn of the century, a statue of Ecce Homo, Behold the Man, the naked Christ, was placed on a plinth, the fourth plinth, in Trafalgar Square in central London. Unlike the other figures that are in Trafalgar Square, which are much larger than life, this one was life-size, vulnerable, utterly realistic. It was of a slim young man. Someone passing by said, "You couldn't put your faith in a man like that. He's as weak as a kitten." Maybe the iconoclasts were right. Maybe it is scandalous to show the naked face of Christ. The climax of the events of that first Friday was the sight of Jesus' dead face. Any passerby could look upon that face, but their gaze would not be returned. This is such a stark reversal of the previous understanding of our relationship with an all-holy God. God was the one who saw us, but we, whom we could not bear to see in return. To see God was to die. But here on the cross, it is a God whose face is not only seen, but it's a face that does not look back, for God is indeed dead. It took the church some 400 years to dare to portray Jesus on a cross on the door of the Santa Sabina Church in Rome. It took another 500 years before we dared to show him dead on the cross. So how does this bring us any closer to naming this Friday then good? How does staring at the body and the face of Jesus dead on the cross help us? Well, it's because of what the death of Jesus accomplishes for us. In both Mark's and Matthew's gospel, at the death of Jesus, he utters a loud cry and breathes his last. But at that moment, the curtain of the veil in the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. The curtain that separated the presence of God from the people of God. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how thick that curtain is, but we know that it was very thick in order to prevent anyone from accidentally entering into that presence of the Holy of Holies. But in the death of Jesus, everything that separated us from gazing upon the very face of Jesus has been removed. All our sin, all our shame, everything that has ever held us back today has been removed because of the cross. When we gaze upon the cross, we see Jesus stripped for our gaze, thirsting for our love. And we in turn are stripped as well, able to be gazed upon by him. When Jesus was baptized, witnesses heard the voice of the Father declare, "This is my beloved Son, whom I delight." On the cross, the delight that was shared between the Father and the Son, the mutual pleasure which is at the very heart of the Trinity, is now fully shared with us as well. We gaze at Jesus, and he gazes at us. He invites us to now come into the very heart of the temple, into the very worship of God, now as an equal. For there is no Christian love that is not based on that equality. Without equality, there can be no love. Because of the cross, we're now able to share in that very life of God. Fragile and fumbling though we be, the Lord redeems us and the Lord delights in us. This Friday is rightly called good because through his cross, Jesus has saved the world. And we in turn now have the privilege of opening ourselves in joy as true sons and daughters of God. On this Good Friday, when we venerate the cross of our salvation, let us allow Jesus to gaze back at us and invite us to come more deeply into a true relationship with him. We are saved through the cross, but we live in the power of the risen Lord. And so on this Friday, let's indeed pause and just wait in the silence of the cross, staring at the face of the dead Christ. Let's allow that face to engage us. Let's allow that face to hold us. Let's allow ourselves the sorrow, the mourning, the lamentation. There will come the day of resurrection, but today is Friday. Today is the day to wait, to mourn, and to allow the Lord indeed to be dead for us, so that his love and his life might continue for us.